clear any views and or opinions expressed on the Fox Paranormal Chat are just that. Any topics of discussion during a broadcasted show is in no way the exclusive view nor opinion of the host or any Web Radio Network staff. You're listening to the Fox Paranormal Chat on the Web Radio Network. And now, Michael and Destiny Fox.
You're live.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, guys.
This is Michael, and with me tonight is Destiny.
Yeah, I just came running in.
Yep, she just came running in so we could talk to you, everybody, tonight.
Grandbaby issues.
Yeah.
We got Jessica with us. Hey, Jessica, I miss you.
I miss you, too.
Well, I just saw you Tuesday night, but briefly.
Yeah, it's okay. We all had stuff going on.
Yeah, that wasn't stuff I wanted well, going on, but I mean, you took care of business.
I tried.
You're awesome, girl.
It's okay. We all had stuff going on.
Michael didn't turn his ringer off. Sound off over here.
You took care of business.
Okay.
Yeah, great.
What a delay.
I know. That'd give you time to think about what you said. Anyway, I got a book in the mail too. Hang on. Let me grab this book. I am quite proud of this book. Hang on. I think it's right here. Well, maybe not. So when I put something up and then I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I think I found it. No. So I put something up so I won't lose it and then I forget where I put it up at. So that was crazy. But I'll go ahead and tell you, I was reading some of it today. I've been home sick all day. I've got some kind of crud going on. My temp is lower than it's been in the last couple of days. It's down to 99. But it's a book written, a prayer book written by Jeremy Leonard. And oh my goodness, powerful. Some of these prayers I've read before. And, you know, it is going to become part of my arsenal when we go out on cases. Because sometimes it's hard. Okay, now where was that prayer? What was it? Where was it at? Okay, let me see. You know, and trying to find a specific prayer for a certain situation. And now I've got them all like in one little book.
Yes.
Oh, we missed Kobe tonight. Kobe had to work. He took a job in Villarica, which is about 15 to 20 minutes from where we live. So he's going to be working on Thursday nights. But I think we can handle it, huh, Jessica?
Yeah, I think I've got enough mail for me and Kobe.
Yeah, I was going to read a couple of those prayers, but I put the book up so I wouldn't lose it. I may jump up and try to grab it in a minute from somewhere else. But, you know, we were talking about topics, Michael and I, and we came up with one, what makes a good paranormal investigator?
Yes.
I mean, you know, I know what we look for when we're shopping for new investigators. There was a time when we would train them. And the train of thought was, you know what, we'll take these newbies that's never investigated before that want to investigate, and we'll just teach them and train them the way we want them to be. And that worked. But our cases are coming in pretty often now. And even up to a Thursday, we'll accept a case for that this the coming up Saturday. And so there's really no time to really instill what we've learned and how we want things done in somebody new and then put them to work like in 2 or 3 weeks on an investigation. We have rules. We have a lot of destiny rules. Mostly destiny rules.
Yeah, mostly destiny rules.
Yes.
But destiny rules. So what can we say?
Yes.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, I try to, but Michael won't let me all the time. But
well, Michael balances you out and you do him too, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The one thing I want to talk about is, you know, each team is different.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about that for a minute. Like Stan, our producer, he's got a large team. I mean, I think he's got so many. He could do 3 different investigations in 3 different locations on the same night. Good. That is awesome. And we've also had to do 2 investigations the same night and divide up into 2 teams so that we could cover both locations. I think we've had to do that twice.
Yeah, I think we've done it a couple of times.
Yeah.
It's worked out, but at the time we had the people on the team that, you know, we were able to do that with.
Right, right. And we've got that kind of team now.
Yes.
And I'm glad. We don't have very many team members, and we're about to bring on a newbie. And the reason we're bringing him on is because he is very experienced in spiritual warfare. So, it's in the talks right now. You know, I've learned not to make, hasty decisions, because there was a time when somebody would come to me and Michael, "Hey, I want to start investigating with you guys." Okay, let's go. You know, and a lot of times that didn't pan out for us.
I was going to say, sometimes, you know, we that's worked out for us on some instances. In some instances, we got pretty burned on it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've gotten cautious over the years.
Yeah, and we did bring on an experienced investigator. He had investigated while he was in New York and moved down here. And we met with him. We talked to him. We decided to bring him on the team, and we never heard from him again. I was
That's
like,
"That's strange."
It really is. He had equipment. He knew how to use it. You know, I became friends with him on Facebook. Like that day, we met with him, and we, of course, I think Michael had been talking to this individual through Messenger.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe through email a good bit before we met him and decided to bring him on the team. But I don't know. I'd send messages, you know, "Hey, you know, are you still interested?" Never a response. So we've really learned to kind of weed out. And sometimes it's hard to do. But I was talking about the amount of team members. I prefer a little small little group of people. And to me, it's because if I've got 6 or 8 people, now I'm talking private investigations. If I've got 6, 8, 10 people, it has turned into chaos for us.
Yeah, we've had issues.
Very big issues.
Yeah.
We investigated a church and I think we had 12 people with us. And, you know, we thought we needed that many. But what we found out is, like, half the team was out on the playground at this church swinging in the swings and laughing and playing while we are trying to investigate. It was just chaos. And then, you know, you're bumping into people, and it's hard to keep that many people quiet. But now when we go and, you know, we're doing a paid venue, yeah, the more the merrier, because we're there just to cut loose and have fun, gather evidence. And it's something for us, for our team. And we like to do that because I feel like it's a reward, you know, for the hard work that we do with clients through the year. So about twice a year, I like to book a location for just us team to go.
I think I like to maintain a certain level of standards, even when we're doing a paid venue, though. Yeah, we're a little looser on the paid venue, but, you know, we're still there for the same reason.
Right, right. And I do prefer smaller groups. Kobe, Michael, and myself and somebody else helped us out on an investigation not long ago. Douglasville, was it Douglasville?
Yes.
We did just fine, the three of us. It worked out good. On this one, we could have used a couple of extra hands, though.
Well, we had no idea the house was as large as it was.
So, you know, we're going to get on to what makes a good paranormal investigator. What would you say, Jessica? What makes a good paranormal investigator?
Common sense is the first thing.
Good one.
Because without common sense, people get themselves in some really stupid situations. And we can sit and name names, but we're not going to do that. But I will say, you see a lot of it on TV with certain very famous people doing some really stupid stuff.
Yeah, you really have to draw the line between TV and what we do, you know, because you got to remember that is for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And people take that serious when they're watching it too, you know?
They really do. And you do have a good point. We've read articles and news and heard news stories where people go out and investigate alone and they end up finding their bodies in abandoned buildings. You know, if you're going to be a good paranormal investigator, please don't go out and investigate alone, especially in an abandoned building. And do not go without permission. And somebody needs to know where you are.
At all times.
At all times. One of my big rules is the whole team stays together. We know where everybody is at all times. Like if we've got people in the basement, or somebody's going to step out and walk away from the property for a minute, you know, we need to know because we like to know where everybody's at and make sure everybody's accounted for. You know, it's basically for safety reasons.
Well, it's important to know where everybody is.
It really is. Michael, what were you saying?
I said that's why we like to use walkies when we do a larger investigation, keep everybody, you know, connected with everybody, and being able to communicate as needed, or somebody gets into a situation they need, you know, additional help there, they can get on the radio and say, hey, I need you here now.
Right. And if you're ever wanting to apply for Fox Paranormal, please remember this. Do not come at me, oh, I'm very gifted. I have the gift of this. I'm gifted in this, because I'm going to shoot you down right off the bat. You know, if you're a gifted person, you don't have to brag on your gifts. You don't have to tell anybody.
We'll figure it out. Trust us.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely. That is the biggest turnoff for me. And besides, if they have like 50 gifts, then it's going to interfere with what I do on an investigation. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does.
It really is. It'll stand in my way of what I do.
But not. Don't be confused. Like some of us have gifts.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't wave them around like they're a flag all the time.
Right. I just told you about one that I have just yesterday. The reason that I have so much come at me all the time. You know, if you don't remember, I'll tell you later.
I remember.
Okay, yeah. And that's just not something that I go around and say, hey, I'm a this, I'm a that. I hear this, I can see. Or, you know, there's so many different psychic gifts. And we're going to learn about those next week, because we're going to have psychic medium John Covey on the show. He is such a great friend of ours. I met him through a demonology class, and he has become a good friend of mine. And he is one of my mentors, quite a bit younger than me. What is he, 20, 21,
yes,
maybe? He has become such a mentor for me because he helps me with my psychic gifts. He has helped me. And it has really, you know, brought a lot of things that happened to me into light. And I'm like, okay, so that's why this happens to me. You know, I'm beginning to understand things clearer. We had him on the show earlier in the year, maybe, or the end of last year. I can't remember. But I really didn't have a good understanding of what he does until I took his class. And it was just amazing.
Now, John's young, but he's already established himself separate from any paranormal team as a established psychic at his age.
And he is the real thing.
He is the very, he's the real deal. There's no doubt. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people and I have people calling us all the time or sending us messages saying, do you need a psychic on your team? I'm a psychic. I've talked to dead people since I was a child.
And yeah, you know, that's the way I am. Well, I can understand that. You know, they're telling you what they can bring to the table. But I'm basically referring to people who sound like they're boasting their gifts.
Yes.
You know, when probably some of them don't have anything and they're just trying to sell themselves on you. And another thing that makes a good investigator is dedication to your work. Because it is work. You've got, you know, if you're going to work with clients, the one thing you've got to do is have patience with them. Don't roll your eyes when you hear about their paranormal activity. Because I've thought in my mind before, yeah, right, sure, you got this going on, you know, and hadn't said it out loud, but yet we experienced it on that investigation. You've got to be open-minded. And just before the show, we were talking about walking in the spirit world, basically. You know, we were talking about spiritual warfare with Stan. I didn't catch all the conversation, but I caught a lot of it right there at the end. I just jumped in and chimed in. You know how I am. But you got to have dedication to what you do. You've got to put in the work. Are you going to bed, Will? Hey, give me a hug. Okay, don't then. Okay, grandbaby moment.
But,
he's cute as a button, though.
He is, and I love him so much. He is just the apple of my eye. But dedication, you've got to put in the work on it. We've had clients come to us and say, well, we had a team come out here. They did EVPs. They took pictures. But they never told us what they caught. That is my big thing. I want the clients to get the review as soon as possible. We had that one client that Michael's computer crashed. I mean, there was no retrieving anything out of this computer. It was gone. Everything. And it had all of that client's information in it.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, they got to hear some of it before we left that night, but we will never live that down, I promise you, because that we could not finish that investigation.
That client just happened to be one of the more difficult clients, and there was no explaining to them that there had been a computer failure either. No.
And if you're going to work with a team, Michael brought this point up when we were talking about it before the show, the ability to work with others.
Yes, that's an important factor in bringing somebody on, that they have to be able to work with others and do so in a flowing way.
Right. Now, Jessica, not only is she a member of Fox Paranormal, but she also has a team up in her area.
Yeah, I have my own team up here.
Jessica lives 2 hours away from us. And we brought her own and told her right off the bat, you still run your team. We'll help each other if we have to. And so Jessica's team, you guys, when you run your team, y'all are more into historic places.
We do the occasional residential, but since the client from hell, I've kind of stepped away from that. He's I was doing a lot of residentials up until that point, and then that client made me completely rethink how I was doing it, because I feel like we were in danger while we were there, and it scared me pretty bad. And so now we do all of our residentials with Fox Paranormal, and I do mostly historics. Some businesses occasionally, like if a business will reach out and ask me if we can come, they've been having some issues. Feel safer doing businesses than residentials up here. So we did a dentist office earlier in the year, and we didn't even get anything. But you know, mostly historical sites and battlefields. There's a covered bridge that I like to visit.
Right. When we brought Jessica on, I told her, I said, your biggest job is to put up with me. Help me.
It ended up being the other way around, but okay.
As here lately. But I mean, you know, I almost put this on Facebook today, and I didn't. Kobe started knocking my shields down on Monopoly, and I got sidetracked. But I was going to make a post today about you on Facebook. But I'll go ahead and tell you, since we're talking here. I appreciate your friendship, and I appreciate you when I get a little explosive. You're like, I understand. It's okay. I love you. Well, and see, I appreciate having a friend like you that understands.
You do the same for me.
Destiny is a bee. Because I can be.
And see, I don't think you're a bee. I think that sometimes you do so much for other people, and you put your own needs on the back burner that you eventually just kind of have to shut down. And being an introvert, and I am, I understand when you just don't feel like being around anybody. And
yeah,
I think
that Tuesday night,
I think Destiny, being an empath, tends to get a little overloaded when she can feel everybody else's sadness around her. And I get that.
And people don't understand, when you're an empath, you're like taking on everybody's anxiety. I have customers come in where I work, and I have to, I don't have to, I willingly listen to, oh, I've had COVID, then I got back to work, then I hurt my back, and then I'm trying to get over that, and my truck broke down, and you know, I'm getting all these feelings of that, and it's bogging me down. And then I have a customer come in, oh, I've been sick, I don't know what I'm gonna do, I hadn't been able to work in a week or two, you know, and I'm taking that on me. By the time I get home, all I want to do is just sit on my bed and watch TV or play on my phone. It's like I come in my room, I shut the doors, I shut everything out, you know. And there's times when Michael's in here with me, I'll be like, Michael, just don't talk. Just be here.
Yeah.
Just be here. Don't say anything, okay? Let's just be here. And I know that don't make a lot of sense to a lot of people, but you know, you take on so much. And I actually had a mentor, Nadine Mercy, and she lived in Canada, and I loved Nadine. She taught me so much about a particular gift that I have, and she taught me a lot about being an empath and a healer. And she passed away with cancer about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, she's crossed over.
Yeah, and I miss her so much. She reached out to me. She was a psychic medium on a TV show. I think it was My Ghost Story, or I can't remember the name of the show that she did. But she actually reached out to me. I didn't reach out to her because, hey, she was on TV. But we were friends on Facebook. I did send her a friend request. And after about 2 months, she sent me an inbox and she was telling me about myself. And the only thing she had to go by was my picture on Facebook, my post, adding, you know, the post that I make. And she began to go in depth. And from then on, it was like immediate friendship. And, you know, it's always good to have that one person in your life that you can vent to. I don't have that person anymore. You know, it's like life has, you know, my friends going in different directions. And I totally understand. But it pays to have somebody to talk to. And this is completely off the subject, but I'm sure I'm saying this because somebody listening probably needed to hear this. I feel like I was led to say this. Don't be afraid to tell people what you're going through. Because there are people that can help you. And sometimes just speaking it out. I was talking to my friend Jeremy just the other day, and I said, hey, I've got a problem. And he said, really? And I said, yeah. So I told him the problem that I have. And as I spoke that out, I began to realize, well, that's not a big problem. That's not a problem after all. And I told him, I said, oh, well, now that I've spoke this out, I realize it's not a big problem. It's something that I can control, something I can put a stop to. You know, I have the ability in me. And it's like you said, sometimes when you're an empath or you're a healer, a lot of times you let yourself go, you neglect yourself, which I'm guilty of, but it makes me happy. Okay, a lot of times, you know, I do have to have that alone time. You know, I have to have quiet. I have to be away from everybody. Sometimes people trigger me. You know, and Michael, a lot of times, if he knows I've had a bad day, when he comes home from work or when I come home, he won't talk to me right away. He waits to fill out my mood. And then it hadn't been too long ago. I don't know if he remembers or not. But, you know, I came in and I did a couple of things after I got in the house. Like I put my purse down, went to the bathroom, washed my hands, you know, and I'm passing him in the hall. Then all of a sudden I see him looking at me and I said, oh, it's okay. I'm in a good mood. And he smiled real big and gave me a hug and a kiss, you know, but I don't want to always be that person people have to tiptoe around, you know, but I take on the moods of everybody. And it is crazy being an empath. And I am bad and I don't like it. I don't like having this. And it's not something I want to brag about to people.
You know, I've met during the course of being a paranormal investigator, a lot of people that claim to have abilities. And one of them worked with me in a group I was involved in previously. And I caught on to the fact that she was not being honest about her abilities pretty quickly as I got to know her, when she told me that she could look into a person's eyes and know things about them, and then proceeded to tell me that she'd been married 7 times. And I'm like, and you didn't look into those eyes to tell me that they were cheaters and abusers?
I know. Let me tell you. So there was a lady sent me a friend request on Facebook, and then she sent me a message. And then she began to tell me she was a psychic. And I'm like, oh, way cool. And this was back in the day. And that's something we didn't have on the team at the time. And so I was seriously considering it. And then one day something clicked in my head because she put on Facebook, she said, I have no clue where my son is. If anybody sees my son, please have him call me. I have no clue. And it'd be like, well, you know, I was going to the grocery store today, but I lost my keys. Come on. You know, and then it's something just rang in my head. Look, she's just telling you this to get on the team. I mean, it's not a big deal being a member of a paranormal team, but I guess it is, you know, if you've never done it before.
But it does take special people to do, you know.
It really does.
An investigation and be able to work with others on the team. And, you know, you're working toward the same goal to obtain this evidence and to help your client. Now, we've worked with other teams over the years, but I prefer working with Webb Paranormal because I know them so much well.
Yeah.
And I've been lucky because Stan Treese has sent in, you know, several of their people they've trained when I've done investigations for them. And they're younger, but they were go-getters. So, you know, I compliment Stan and Teresa on the training they've given these people. They are utilizing a lot.
Right, right. And, you know, what makes a good paranormal investigator is you've got to be willing to work with other teams. I mean, if something comes at you, you run into a situation that you can't handle. If it's something you have no experience on, please reach out to somebody else. You know, that doesn't mean you're bad and you're failed. It means, you know, hey, I need to pull in somebody that's had these experiences, yes, that knows what they're doing. And Michael and I had to do this once. So, you know, and it didn't shame us at all to call in somebody else. Actually, we went in with this team, and together we were able to do deliverance on the home. This case even involved dogs with red glowing eyes. I mean, it was very in the beginning for me. It was within less than 6 months of me investigating the paranormal for the very first time, the first 6 months. And so it was way over my head, way over my head. And, you know, I've got a couple of friends that I talked to. Hey, we're on an investigation. Let me ask you this. Even this day, you know, and a lot of people diss professional paranormal investigators. I believe on the TV show we were on, I think they said paranormal experts a couple of times. Well, you know, I guess that's fine if somebody wants to call themselves a professional, but don't be so professional in your work that you're too ignorant to let somebody come in and help you if it's something you can't handle.
Well, it's like the way I met you guys was reaching out over a case that I felt was above my pay grade.
Exactly. And see, that's where, you know, I'm wanting to train you in that area, and you've learned a lot since then.
Yes.
You know, you had a little haunted object in your house. I'm driving home from work last Saturday, and, you know, Jessica put two and two together. I don't know. You might not want me talking about this.
It's okay. I'll tell it. I was entrusted with a haunted object that was a doll. And, When it came here, I did what the advice I was given by a Catholic priest in finding it and keeping it blessed, blessing it once a month and putting it back. And my daughter, she blamed the death of her rabbit on it, but I don't know that that's really the case because rabbits are really kind of delicate anyway. So I kind of passed that off. But then I started looking, and like over the last year that thing has been in my home, I have had just one bad thing over after another one happen. I'm talking job losses, illnesses unexplainable, two of them to the point that I was hospitalized. And I was like, something's got to give. And then I realized it was because of the doll, potentially because of the doll. And so we did a whole house cleansing and bonding and removing that doll from the premises of the house, and suddenly everything's back on track. So
absolutely, you apply for a job and they send you the paperwork for direct deposit and your
information. I didn't even apply for it.
Things are starting to open, but
a headhunter contacted me.
And you've got this.
Well, of course, I didn't even apply for it, and I was having such like a hard time, and then all of a sudden, boom, in my lap.
So I'm on the way home from work last Saturday, and I need to rush home. And then Jessica, which put two and two together, all this bad luck to her and everything bad that was happening started when she got this object. And so I'm like, you got to get that out of your house. You know, I'm just glad that you realized what it was. And she's like, well, she knows how to bless and cleanse stuff. But I was able to add some stuff. And then, you know, I sent her a video of Jeremy Leonard blessing our haunted object. And, you know, she went in there and she went to battle. And she got it done. And I'm proud of you, girl.
What I think, though, makes a good paranormal investigator is willing to have an open mind and be able to take advice from other paranormal investigators, because you may not know everything all the time. And you've got to be able to say, I don't know everything.
Exactly. I had something. We were in Virginia a few months back, and while we were there, something, I don't know, attached itself to me, something very negative. And, you know, it took me a minute to realize what had happened. And I talked to Kobe about it. I even spoke with Dylan about it, because he was there and you were there. And I'm like, you know, it seems like since we were there, this has happened, that's happened, this has happened. You know, oh, I'm not saying anybody at the Paracon done anything, but something happened. And so when I kept telling everybody, I said, I tell you what, when I get to that Paracon, I'm going to get this mess off of me. I'm going to talk to Blaine. I'm going to talk to Lee Triana Brown, Blaine Rowan. And I did. And I want you to know, Blaine did not hesitate. He'd done some little spiritual mojo on me, and it worked. I'm telling you, I left there without that thing, whatever it was. It was like depression, anxiety. It was bad, really, really bad. And I knew that I needed help with this. I was not able, because of the condition I was in, to remove this from me. And it's hard when something's on you. For example, if you watch 28 Days, you know, a lot of people know that Jeremy Leonard is a very strong spiritual warfare person, okay? If I were spirit, I wouldn't go up against him. All right. So, you know, but yet he was able to be manipulated and oppressed by a spirit. And when you're in that position, your fight is gone. I mean, you can't, it seems like you can't bust out of it. So if you're going to be a good paranormal investigator, know when these things attach itself to you, know when something has decided, hey, I'm about to make your life a living hell. Reach out for somebody to help you. I guess that's just the biggest thing, you know, be open-minded about stuff. Being a paranormal investigator is not just about running around in a cemetery and taking pictures of orbs, okay? It's a lot deeper
orbs.
Right. You know, if you're going to have a team, I guess there's a difference, you know, if you're going to be a paranormal explorer, or if you're going to be a paranormal investigator, or if you're going to run a team, you know, that there's different aspects. Like some people, that's all they want to do is go to cemeteries. Well, that's fine if that's what you want to do. I'm not saying anything against it. Some people just want to investigate abandoned buildings. but at any of these places, know that you can be jumped by something.
Yes, you can. And you can take it home with you if it's the right thing.
And, you know, I've had a whole new train of thought about, you know, I've always made the comment that after we do an investigation, that we've been known to bring human spirits back with us. They last about 3 days and then they leave. I had a revelation on this. Okay, if there's a human spirit on the location, how do we know that there's not a negative spirit there?
We don't know.
We don't know. And, you know, negative spirits, non-human spirits can take on shapes and forms of other spirits, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it took me a minute on this, a couple of years, I would say.
And, you know, I would say if you're going to investigate a cemetery, you need to be cautious of what you're going to be facing there, too. Personally, if I was a spirit, the cemetery is not where I'd want to hang out.
Well, let me ask you this. So we've spoke to people who have worked in morgues and people who have worked in funeral homes. And they have said they've actually seen an apparition of the person who is deceased looking at their deceased body. So just a thought. I'm not saying I believe this, but just a thought. What if that person is not willing or can't leave? They have to hang close to their body.
They haven't let go yet.
Do you think that's possible?
I think it's absolutely possible. They have not reached that point where they could let go of their human, their living side, and they're trying to cope with what changes have occurred to them in a blink of an eye. And they don't understand it.
Like, could you imagine driving down the road and the next thing you know, you're looking at your body in a morgue?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you've said several times, and I've heard other people say, that how the person dies, you know, they're going to remain that person. Like if they were mean in life, if they were good in life. But what if they can feel devastation?
Mm-hmm.
What if they have feelings? Like they can feel, they still have emotions is what I'm trying to say. What if they still have emotions? Could you imagine how devastating it is to be looking and say, oh my God, that's me. Wait a minute. The last thing I remember is driving 150 miles an hour down the interstate.
Yes.
And now look at me. I mean, what if they just stay there? And even after the body's put in the ground or after the body's cremated, they want to hang close to there. I mean, it is paranormal. You know, we don't know all the answers.
No, we don't.
I still have questions about the paranormal, and we've been doing this quite a few years now, but I still have questions, things I want to know. But you know what? I've decided I ain't going to know the answer to these questions until it's my time to go.
I can remember when we're communicating with the spirit, and I remember asking one time the question, what's it like to be a spirit? What is it where you're at? And we'd get this response, and they would say, I'm not allowed to say.
That makes you wonder.
Yeah.
Well, like, because we're not supposed to know.
Right. But
who's governing this? These spirits are saying, I'm not allowed to say.
Right. So, you know, earthbound spirits, what if there is some kind of bigger dominating spirit actually controlling them and what they're allowed to say? I know we were doing a live stream on an investigation once, and I asked the question, have you seen God? Oh my God, somebody proceeded to bless me out. That's blasphemy. And I'm like, really? Okay.
How is that blasphemy?
I don't know. I mean, it's a question I want to know. Have you seen God? I mean, I thought it was a fair question to ask.
I think it was, too. And that goes along with the lines of being an investigator.
Right.
We're trying to obtain this information.
And that's another thing. Are people wanting to be investigators for the thrill of it? That's how I started out. That adrenaline rush, seeing shadows dart in and out of the woods that time at the cemetery in Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
I was on cloud nine. I wasn't scared. The adrenaline was amazing to the point where I was like a kid at the fair. I was like, look at that. Did you see that? Oh my God, that's amazing kind of thing. Thrill seeking. I wanted to investigate because I wanted to see more. I wanted to experience more. I wanted to be more involved in it. I wanted to know more. Like, how is this possible? And so mine started out thrill seeking, but then I came to the point, and what I think set me apart from that old destiny to the new is I've gained a lot of knowledge, and I want to use that knowledge to help people. So what makes a good investigator, it doesn't matter if you're in it for the thrills. If you're in it for the thrills, be careful. If you're in it to help clients, be careful. There's warnings with everything. But now, I want to utilize all the knowledge that I've had to help people because, Michael, people don't know what's going on in their house.
No. And that's why they usually call us. When they're wanting a paranormal investigator to come in, they're wanting somebody to come in and find out what's going on or what it is or how can they deal with it. Well, one, we have to go in and identify whether there's paranormal activity first. Two, then we identify what we're dealing with as far as on the spirit level.
Right.
And then three, we try to work with the client, help them understand and learn to coexist with this.
Exactly. I was going to say something. I can't remember what it was.
But, you know, it's a wide open field for people to get involved in. But, you know, I highly suggest, you know, if somebody wants to become a paranormal investigator, I really wish, you know, that they're going to do it for the right reasons.
Right. This is what I was going to say. I was going to say we have those clients every once in a while that give us all the information, everything that's going on. And we're like, okay, we'll set you up an investigation. They're like, well, I've already told you everything. Can't you just come get rid of it? Well, no. Because first, we are not going to take a team of people in a location and try to get rid of something we don't even know what's there, if there's anything there. And what I tell clients when they say something like this is I'll be like, okay, number one, we've got to know what's there, who's there, why they're there. Because if we're going in just to do a cleansing, to get rid of a negative spirit, we've got to know. If we're going in to get rid of a demon, which a lot of people think they have demons and they don't, everything's demonic to a lot of people. I understand that. But think about somebody that has never experienced anything paranormal in their whole life. Never watched a paranormal show, you know, and we have those clients sometimes. Something goes flying off of the shelf. Something touches them. Something mm-hmm. pulls their hair. It's a demon.
Yeah.
I understand their fear. But we have to go in and do an investigation so that we know what's there, know what we're dealing with, because that determines how we're going to help you solve your problem.
Absolutely.
Or help you cope with what you've got going on. We've got clients that we've had to actually teach them how to coexist with spirits in their house. I mean, you're dealing with new homeowner versus the owners that used to own it 50 years ago, and they're clashing.
Well, we've had clients before, you know, that's asked us if we're going in. They want us to do an investigation, but they tell us up front, don't get rid of it.
Right. Yeah, we have. Actually, we had a client that had a little girl spirit in her home, and she said, I want you to come. She said, I want you to, and boy, did we ever experience it. I want you to experience what's going on in my home and just tell me I'm not crazy, but I don't want you to mess with the spirit. I want you to leave it here. And that's the hardest thing in the world. You go into a home and you've got a spirit of a little girl, and your first thought is, let me send her to her family. Mm-hmm. Let me send this baby girl home. And I want to so bad, but I have to keep my word to my client. And a good paranormal investigator never tells the client, we will get rid of it.
Mm-mm. Never.
Never. There's no guarantees. None at all.
For one thing, you cannot deliver somebody from a human spirit.
No.
Human spirits are totally different than demonic spirits. A demonic spirit, an individual, an exorcist can go in and they can exorcise this demonic spirit and, chase it away or get rid of it. A human spirit's totally different.
Right. And we did an investigation just not long ago that involved some bad energy from a Mexican cartel.
Yes.
People that had lived in this home experienced that negative, and it left negative energy to the point where people's heads were cut off in front of children that lived in the home. Okay, so you've got all this energy here. And that was quite an interesting case. Jessica, sometime when you're down, we're going to let you hear the EVPs. We actually got some Spanish EVPs.
From you know what they home. Say?
Huh?
Do you know what they say?
No, but Dylan is a little bilingual, and he was able to pick out some of the words. Some of it's not clear enough, but you can definitely tell it's not the English language.
My friend that lives next door can probably translate them for us. She's fluent.
Well, when we did the investigation, because Latino people had lived in the home before the clients moved in. When we did the investigation, Michael had the most clever idea. He used Google Translate.
I translate.
Well, whatever, same thing.
I translate.
So he was asking the questions, and then the translator in his phone would ask the questions.
In Spanish.
And we were getting responses in Spanish. Not all spirits speak English, okay?
No, they don't. And it always cracks me up because when you watch in the ghost hunting shows, we're not going to name any names.
No, they'll go
to another country, and the country might speak, say, German. And the paranormal investigators are speaking to them in English. And I'm like, okay. I'm sure they understand you 100.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just thought that was the neatest idea Michael ever had, was to get the translator out.
He's definitely a problem solver, aren't you, Michael?
Yes,
I try to be. But it just made sense for that particular case we were working.
Well, it's like we went to the one investigation, and Destiny decided to play some music from a certain time era for the spirits. They responded because it was their time era.
Yeah.
It was something they recognized.
Mm-hmm. And part of the job of a paranormal investigator is not to find the ghost, but make them feel comfortable enough to show themselves. So some of these things we do just to earn the trust of the spirits.
Exactly. I've been known to ask, okay, is there something we can do to help you? Is there something you want us to know? You know,
you've also been known to go into the conjugal visit at a jail, a conjugal visit room at a jail, and talk to them about how you're there to visit them to see if they'll show their faces.
Yeah, but we're not going to call any names on who did that.
We've all done it. I've done it too.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm here to visit you. Will you come talk to me? Sitting in the conjugal room at Poly Jail, I did it. I'm not going to lie and say I didn't. I was fully clothed. Let me put that disclaimer out there. Nothing dirty. You sit down in the conjugal visit room and you're a lady. They're expecting a visit with a lady. And sometimes they'll talk to you. And then sometimes you walk into a cell with a lit cigarette and they take a drag of it.
Mm-hmm. You know, that goes back to what I always said, you know, being open-minded, because you've got to be open-minded to all kinds of ideas on how you're going to conduct an investigation.
So to sum it up, Jessica, what makes a good paranormal investigator?
Common sense, integrity, decency and honesty, willingness to treat the ghosts like they were people, willingness to work as a team, professionalism.
Yep.
Do you have anything to add to that?
I don't know. That pretty much sums up everything.
Yeah, that's pretty much everything we discussed.
Yes.
Which, you know, we're not saying if you want to be a paranormal investigator, don't contact us.
No.
You know,
you never know. You might have something to bring to the table.
Yeah.
And there are teams looking for new people. Even though I'm not willing to train anybody at this time, doesn't mean that won't change in 2 or 3 months. You know, reach out. Don't ever stop reaching out. You know, if you want to be on a team, pursue it. Don't do it boastfully, because I don't know about other teams, but that kind of turns me off right there. Well, I know this person. I know that person. I've met this person. Well, I've been here. I've been there. And I'm like, okay, next.
And if you think you know everything, don't bother.
Don't oversell yourself. Let them know your qualities. I'm an honest person. You know, I'm good with K2. I'm willing to learn. I'm open-minded. I can follow rules, you know, tell me what to do. I'm a dedicated person. You know, that's what people look for when they're looking for a new investigator, your dedication. You know, I know what it's like to have a team and then reach it. Now, all of our team members that can investigate now, I am not talking about you guys, because you've been there, you've been faithful. Work happens. Distance happens. Money for gas happens. Every one of our team members right now has a good reason they can't go. If I were to say, okay, tomorrow night we need to be here or there.
Yes.
But we've had team members in the past who lack dedication. Like, okay, I need to know who's available in 2 weeks. We have an investigation, da 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 da, and here are the claims. And then nobody answer me. Or, I can't go. And, you know, I don't have a babysitter. Then later you see posts on Facebook where they were at a party drinking. And I'm like, what the crap?
Yeah.
You know, don't lie to your team leaders. If you've got plans, you tell them up front. You know, be honest with whoever's team that you join. Always be honest to them. Anything else you want to add?
I think we covered everything on that subject.
And a lot more that wasn't on the subject.
And a lot, a lot more wasn't on the subject.
You never know what you're going to get on the Fox Paranormal Chat, for sure.
Going to tell my secrets. You know, one more thing. If you want to be on a team, if you and this doesn't just go for Fox Paranormal or my group, but any group, you don't step to a group that's already functioning like you know more than them. We all can learn from each other, but if you come to me and you act like you think you know more, I guarantee you, if you've never operated a team, you don't. And I'm not going to take real kindly to that kind of attitude. It's not something I'm going to want to work with.
Absolutely not. And, you know, even Michael and I, as the team owners, we're very open to suggestions. Everybody on our team at one time or another, can I make a suggestion the next time we do an investigation? We're like, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Can we change how we do this or that? You know, and that makes us more open-minded and more willing to listen to what you have to say. Then let me tell you what we need to do next time. And, you know, and everybody, I think Jessica's done it. I know Big Ronnie has. You know, may I make a suggestion instead of saying, look, that ain't how we're going to do it no more.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not going to work.
I mean, I've said, have you guys considered this?
Right, right. You know, and that's why it works as a team. Because when we go on investigation, it's teamwork. There's no, okay, Michael and Destiny's the boss. You've been with us. No, it doesn't work like that. We all offer suggestions. Hey, what do you think about this? Or Jessica will say, hey, let me and so-and-so go do this in this room. You know, and it's like we're all working together to achieve the same goal.
You know, what I'd like to top this off with, when we do have people on the team, you know, be up front and be able to ask us questions if you have a question. The only bad question is the question that was never asked.
Exactly.
We don't ever mind answering questions when somebody wants to know something.
Absolutely.
And we're not saying our answer is the final answer.
We don't know everything.
No.
We're still learning. You know, I learned something new just about every investigation. And for a while when we were investigating, it was like I would get so bored. I would, and if we ever go into an investigation and I'm like, I'll watch the monitor tonight. Please know I'm not feeling nothing. I'll watch the monitor. If we ever go somewhere and I'm like, hey, I'll just sit here and watch the monitor. You guys go investigate.
Yeah, I guess I'm known for being a good organizer. I guess that's why, mm-hmm. you know, we've traveled all over the country. You know, we've done a lot of paracons, and most of the paracons, I'm asked to lead the investigations for the paracon. And that's because I guess I'm a good organizer, but I always give the host the credit.
Absolutely.
I don't take the credit myself.
You are good. You taught me everything I know, almost everything.
But I've led
like all the time.
I've led investigations all over the country.
You know, and I talk a lot when we do the podcast, but a lot of times Michael don't get credit for his intelligence. Michael is a very smart man. And that's what attracted me to him to begin with, because he looked like a college professor. Okay. And I love that. I love smart men. And that's what attracted me to him to begin with. But he has so much knowledge, and sometimes he can't talk because I talk so much. You know, a friend of mine told me one time when we were doing our live streams on Facebook, he said, can I ask you something? No, can I tell you something? And I said, yeah. He said, you need to be quiet and let Michael talk more. Because Michael's got something to say. And I was like, okay.
I've always got something to say. But most of the time, you already know what I'm saying. So you answer it for me. It's just, we work well together. We're like tea and sugar.
But you drink unsweet tea.
I have drank unsweet
blended
tea.
In.
Okay, guys, that's it for tonight. I'm telling you, I love our paranormal chats because I want it to be more like we're sitting in our living room with everybody. And we're just having a little chat about the paranormal.
Absolutely. And we love talking about the paranormal. And we love interacting with other teams.
It may be a while before Kobe's back with us. But Kobe has a job and duty calls. So there may be that occasion when he works in the daytime instead of the evenings and he can join us on our chat. He's leaving us handicapped a little bit because he has to work on Saturday evenings, but we're going to make it all work.
We'll figure it all out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
We always have.
And that's something else we like to do with paranormal investigators a lot of times. We try to accommodate, you know, as far as their schedules too.
Absolutely.
We just don't set a date and say, okay, be there or don't be there.
Be there or be square, y'all.
Yes.
Yeah, I like to know who's going ahead of time. Oh, it's a little irritating when somebody says, oh, I might can. I don't know yet. That drives me insane.
Well, I mean, sometimes people don't know for sure until they get closer because of financial reasons or whatever. And I get that.
Well, they just need to say that then.
I just start.
What gets us is they don't say anything at all.
Yeah.
I try to let y'all know what's going on.
We know what everybody's situation is right now. But I like to know ahead of time because before the investigation, I'm having clients send us pictures, or Michael and I have already been to their residence to interview them. You know, I'm already picturing, okay, what's going to work? I'm already getting the game plan together. And if I know who's going to be there in advance, it helps me better organize the investigation. You know, on who's going to do what are we going to do? What are we going to cover? Yes. You know, it just helps me better know. I didn't say it was a bad thing that people do that or have to do that sometimes. I just say it irritates me.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. Well, Jessica, it's good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you. We need to do it more often.
Yes. I'm so, like next Thursday night.
Right.
Next Thursday night, we do have psychic medium John Covey on our podcast, and I'm looking so forward to that. I'm always excited to talk to John, and we're going to be having others. We've got some guests lined up, just waiting on them to let me know which Thursday fits their schedule, and we want to talk about different things every week.
Absolutely.
And it's hard to keep things going. I thought about Black-Eyed Kids, but I saw another podcast on the web just cover that, and I'm like, oh snap, that's out of the question. But I don't know, we could go back and listen to that and add our thoughts and feelings too.
There's been a lot of shows over the years that's talked about the black-eyed children.
Oh absolutely, definitely a mystery for sure. Well guys, we're gonna wrap it up, and we hope to see you next Thursday, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock PM. Look us up on our Facebook page, Fox Paranormal. We also have an advertising page where you can join this page. You can share about your teams, advertise your team page, paranormal events, your live streams. All of that is welcome as long as it pertains to paranormal. You're welcome to post in Fox Paranormal advertising. We also have a little fun group that I haven't worked much lately, but I'm going to try to do better. It's called the Paranormal Fox. I've recently opened that up so other people can post there as well. So guys, till next time, I'm Destiny.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Jessica.
And we're Fox Paranormal. See you next week, guys. Peace and love.
Peace and love.
Good night, everybody.